I like to start each message with a couple of inspiring thoughts. And the first one is this: kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless. And the second is this: never be so busy as to not think of others. As always, it is so good to be with you, and I truly enjoy our time celebrating the Holy Mass each week. There's nothing like belonging to a loving and caring community like we have here at St. Albert the Great Parish. It truly is a wonderful thing. This morning, we are closing a three-week homily series on the disciples' response to a world of growing social concerns. Now, since I wasn't able to get anywhere near to addressing all the many areas of social concerns, we'll have to have another series on this in the future. But I do hope this. I do hope that you had an opportunity to look in the bulletin last week or to look in it this week and see all of the wonderful social concerns ministries that are taking place here at St. Albert the Great. I truly am excited when I tell you that so much good comes out of this parish. You truly are a great and fantastic parish. And here's a little social concerns tidbit to inspire you. We've been doing this throughout the series. This one has to do with the parish and school staff. Our retreat day is coming up in very, very shortly, in just a few weeks. And our retreat day this year will revolve around packaging food that will provide hundreds of meals to those in other parts of the world who would otherwise go to bed hungry at night. We thought this would be a great way to, as a staff, to show our solidarity with all those in the world. And the remaining minutes, I would like to cover two topics about social concerns that are important as a disciple of Jesus. The emphasis has been on what is social concerns from a disciple standpoint, because you and I are disciples of Jesus. We are followers of Jesus. Jesus is our great teacher, and we are his followers. We are the ones that listen and to live out his life. The first point is foundational in nature, and the second is a lot more practical oriented. First of all, the foundational piece. If you've been following the thread in this series, you've observed that as Jesus' disciples, there is a deep spiritual connection between us and God, others, and as a matter of fact, all of creation. I truly like the fact that Catholic social teaching also includes taking care of the environment. And we know that that is a very important thing. And it is through the modeling of Jesus, through his teaching and through his word and an example, that we discovered, as he said in a single breath, that you can sum up the entire essence of life. That's pretty substantial, isn't it? The entire essence of life by loving God and loving others. That's what he said. But then he added a little more to it. He said, love as I have loved you. You know, love is hard to do sometimes, isn't it? It's hard to love, and we don't always do it in the greatest of ways. But Jesus says, that's why you need to model me. You need to love as I have loved you. We also saw in creating the foundations that the dignity and the worth of a person is not contained in their list of accomplishments on their resume, but it is by being created in the image of God. That is what is unique about every living human being, created in the image of God. The final piece of foundation in making this spiritual connection complete is the desire to lead others to know the joy of Jesus in their life. I go back to the readings, today's gospel reading, and the ones that we've actually heard over the last couple of weeks, where Jesus uses the example of bread. See, Jesus makes it very clear that God is concerned about our physical needs. We know that because when the Israelites were wandering in the desert for 40 years, God provided them with sustenance. He provided them with bread from heaven, which is called manna. And we also, during this time, we also recounted the story of Elijah the prophet as he wandered exasperated in the desert. But what did God do? God provided him with bread. He said, Elijah, get up and eat. Strengthen yourself. But Jesus talks about another bread. He says, a bread that the Father has given us to eat. And he says, this bread will give you eternal life. And then, as we heard in the gospel today, he said, I am the bread. This bread is Jesus. So let me ask you a simple question this morning. If you could only choose one, which bread would you pick? Bread for one day or bread for an eternity? Well, fortunately, God doesn't put us in that corner and force us to choose between one or another, because God loves us so much that he cares about all of our needs. But it's important, as we lay foundations, to realize this. When we offer bread, we also need to offer people the bread of life. And it can be as simple as just saying to somebody, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Think about it. How would you feel today if no one ever told you about Jesus? How would that make you feel? What would your life be like inside? Where would you be without Jesus today? So why should we think any differently in regard to other people when we consider supplying or meeting, as Paul said, all of their needs? The second point addresses social concerns and our personal discipleship from a practical perspective. To love as Jesus loved is not easy, right? It's challenging, but it's extremely rewarding. And it also requires a good stewardship of what God has entrusted to us. Here are a couple of practical suggestions you might want to consider. First of all, take an active role in meeting the social concerns of other people. As we've already seen, there are numerous ways to respond to social concerns in life. Let's take the need for food as just one example. Here's some things that we can do. We can provide immediate relief, or we can teach people how to grow food, or we can advocate for change in legislation to help promote more efficient and productive ways of growing food. And these are just to name a few of them. See, the opportunities to serve others are numerous. They're infinite, actually. But what's important, and these other things don't matter if you don't get this step right, what's important is stepping up and being a part of the solution. That's really critical. The second thing is to give of your time as you can. Now, there's this common thought today, or notion, that some people think that if you get involved in a parish ministry, you're made a lifer. You ever felt that way? You're made a lifer. You can't get out of it. Well, that's not true. That's really not true. While there are people who have the time to be marathon runners with their time, they're at a different place. They're in a place where they are able to do that. And then there are people who are not capable of doing that. They have many other responsibilities. And that's okay too. I like to call those people sprinters. So how much time you can devote really depends on your circumstances. But here's the important thing. There's a place for everyone. There's a place for everyone. I was really impressed just a few days ago, and the gentleman happens to be here this morning, when he stepped up and he volunteered to help deliver food that we collect once a month for loaves and fishes, like we'll do next weekend. That's so important. It's not a big deal, but it's a very important thing, isn't it? Because what good is food if it sits out in the gathering space if it's not delivered to where people can use it? Do you see the important connection? Just that one connection of after Mass, taking that food to wherever it needs to go once a month. It is so simple, but it is so important. And there are many opportunities like that in our parish. The important thing, I say once again, is to get involved to the degree that you're able. The third thing is to give of your financial resources. I'll be honest with you, and I don't think I'll ever change my mind on this one. You are an extremely generous parish, and I commend you for that. Just for example, last fiscal year, you remember the two massive hurricanes that we had? Well, the church called upon us to step up and to help support the victims of hurricane floods, you raised $26,000. I think that's very impressive. And we just received a request from Archbishop Kurtz this week to take up another collection in the next couple of weeks to help those who have been impacted by severe flooding that is going on in India right now. You've probably been seeing that in the news, haven't you? But here is a perfect example that while most of us can't physically travel the world to help, or many of us may not have a whole lot of time to help locally, we can show our solidarity, and hit that solidarity point with me, will you? We can show our solidarity with others by being a good steward of our finances. The fourth thing is to give financially for the right reasons. Now, if you haven't noticed it already, there's new changes in the federal tax laws, and the standard deduction for 2018 has gone up. Now, if you're a taxpayer, that's good news, isn't it? But it also raises some serious concerns for parishes and nonprofit organizations who are very committed to, dedicated to addressing the needs of social concerns. And here's why. It is estimated that the number of filers, maybe flyers is a better word, the number of filers who itemize deductions will drop from about 37 million to 16 million people. Now, if I calculate it in my head, which is not always the easiest thing to do, that means there will be 21 less million people who will be filing a what you would call a long deduction. But here's the other part that the research makes about it. It says now that there's no personal financial gain in giving to charitable causes, it is estimated that donations to parishes and self-organizations that do good in the world will drop by almost $24 billion in the year 2018. Now, while stewardship is a very important matter, as Christians, we are called to return a portion of what God has given us because it all belongs to him in the first place. And I really like what Jesus had to say. He said, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." And we must not forget the words that God spoke through the prophet Malachi to the people. He said to the people, "Bring your whole tithe into the storehouse. Test me on this, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you can't contain it all." That's a pretty good promise, isn't it? The fifth and final thing is this: act preventatively to social concerns. Now, you may be scratching your head wondering, what in the world is he talking about? Well, the best way to minimize and to prevent social concerns, it lies right under your nose. That's how close it is to you. And what I'm referring to is strengthening the family. Strengthening the family. I once again returned to one of my heroes of the faith, St. Teresa of Calcutta. And when she received the Nobel Prize, she was asked by someone, she said, "Mother, what can we do to promote world peace?" Do you remember what she said? Well, she said, "Go home and love your family. Go home and love your family." And on numerous occasions, if you read about the life of St. Teresa, you find volunteers who come from all over the world who want to give themselves sacrificially in ministering to the poorest of poor, the mother looking at them and saying to them, "You need to go home and love your family. That's your mission. That's your purpose in life." And listen to just a couple more of her quotes on how to prevent social concerns by loving the family. She says this: "Whatever you do for your family, you do for God." Think about that. You do for God. And then she says, "Go home and love your family," because love begins by taking care of the closest ones, and the closest ones are at home. And this is a very profound one here. She says, "If you want to bring happiness to the world, go home and love your family. There's where it starts." Now, don't you think, as you reflect on that, that there would be fewer social concerns in the world if there was more of God's love in the family? Do you think that would be true? Well, that's a no-brainer, isn't it? Think what the world would be like if it were like that today. That's our calling. So I'd like to leave you with a couple of thoughts for reflection. This morning's message hashtag is We Are Called. So let me ask you, how do you, as one of Jesus' disciples, respond to an ever-growing world of social concerns? How are you involved? And the second thing is this, love your family today. Love your family today. God bless all of you.